Good morning. Happy New Year to you all, if I haven't wished you Happy New Year yet. How do you feel about this new year? I read a passage actually on the prayer meeting on Tuesday that kind of tied in with it. And it said this: the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. So there will be mountains and there will be valleys ahead of us in this coming year. Ups and downs, things that surprise us, things that depress us, things that bring us joy, etc. But the passage continues by saying, it is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? His eyes are upon it. Hallelujah. Are you excited and maybe full of anticipation? Perhaps this is the year you go to uni or you change jobs, you retire, you get engaged, your mortgage is paid off, you have grandchildren, you get released into a ministry that you've always perhaps longed for. And if you're in that camp, bless God. There are seasons of great blessing and abundance, aren't there, in God. Perhaps, however, the year ahead is one of a bit of worry and fear. Maybe health problems loom, financial difficulties. Perhaps you're facing a year for the first time alone. Maybe just the cloud of COVID still hanging over us is enough to depress you. I mean, it's not encouraging, is it, quite often. Perhaps there are long-standing issues, problems and battles that seem insurmountable as the year unfolds before you. You've tried everything, perhaps, to get the victory and see a deliverance, but to no avail. That loved one that you've longed for and prayed for is still lost. That personal issue in your life is still there. That negative thought cannot be broken. You cannot seem to see a way that you're going to be set free again this year. Well, I want to share an account from the book of Joshua that I pray will bless you, encourage you, and instruct all of us, actually, in the new year ahead. You see, Joshua, in chapter 6, in the book named after him, the leader of all Israel, was on the brink of something new. Not a new year as such, but a new chapter in the life of Israel, this young nation, as he's about to lead them into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. They had learned, hopefully, from the mistakes of the past generation, and they were now ready to take their very first city, Jericho. And it says in Joshua 6:1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites, so they knew they were coming, essentially. No one went out and no one came in. Listen to this little commentary on Jericho. The fortifications of Jericho were massive. And when one hears of the ancient city of Jericho, the first thing which comes to mind are the famous walls of Jericho, aren't they? Now, I've read this a few times. I still can't quite get my head around it. But here's a description of these walls as they were. These walls were structured on a three-tiered plan. The walls started with an earthen rampart or an embankment which ran from ground level upwards on an incline to a stone retaining wall, the second tier. The stone retaining wall, 4 to 5 metres on top of the earthen embankment. On top of the stone retaining wall stood another wall made of mud bricks, 2 metres thick and 6 to 8 metres high. Together, these two walls combined to form a fortification of 32 to 41 feet high. To put this into perspective, envisage a four-story tall building. Such was the height of the walls of Jericho. But it's not finished yet. On the other side of the double wall, the embankment, how they knew this, I have no idea, but there you go. Such was the height of, on the other side of the double wall, the embankment continued to climb upwards. The third tier was at the very top of the embankment, where yet another mud brick wall stood. At their base, the walls of Jericho stood some 46 feet or 14 metres above ground level outside the retaining wall. To the Israelites below, Jericho obviously seemed impregnable. The illusion created by the two walls on the bottom and the large wall at the crest of the embankment seemed to stand nearly 10 stories from ground level. From this height, the Israelites must have seemed like ants and surely were deemed no threat whatsoever to this city. I mean, that's pretty imposing, isn't it? In there, if you remember back, in their first failed attempt to possess the land 40 years earlier, the spies, evil spies, brought a report back. And they said this on their report: "Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we." And obviously they saw the city the first time round. "The cities are large, with walls up to the skies." So that was kind of what they were facing with Jericho. Jericho was a stronghold, a seemingly impregnable city that could not be brought down. How was this new, inexperienced nation, not exactly trained in warfare, to deal with this 10-story wall, or walls rather, that stood in their way? The way looked hopeless, it looked impossible, and this city looked impregnable. And hopefully you can see where I'm going with this. As I mentioned in my intro, many of us this year will face seemingly insurmountable problems that rise up, that can dwarf us, making us cower in fear actually at what we may be facing. Our negative self-talk, and of course the devil, would tell us that we cannot get past this issue. We cannot bring these walls down. We cannot get the victory. The walls are too high. And do you know what they are? And we can't. But I want to tell you and encourage you, based on the word of God this morning, that God can. God can bring those walls down. If we don't believe it, we've got no place here, have we? Joshua 6:1 again. "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua," and here's the key verse really, "see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. I have delivered Jericho into your hands." You know, we can throw our man-made weapons at the wall. We can create strategies, battle plans. We can consult experts in the art of war. We can dig trenches and all the rest of it. But ultimately, it just wears us out and end in failure. We will not get the victory in our plans and strategies and strength. Our victory comes, doesn't it, in this life, based upon the promises and the word of God. Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear in Corinthians. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And our weapon, our defence, our victory going into the new year is not that we will do better. It is not that we will self-improve. It's not that we will try harder. It's but that we will trust. That we will lean in. That we will lean in to the word of God and to the promises of God over our lives. More specifically, and Julia mentioned it in passing this morning, and we haven't conferred actually, that we will lean into the rhema words of God given to us as we've sought God over the weeks, the months, and the years of our lives. And what do I mean by rhema? The general understanding is there are two Greek words used for the word of God in the New Testament. There are different opinions, but broadly speaking, there's logos and rhema. Logos refers to the written word of God, the entire Bible, and the Lord himself is actually called the logos, whereas the rhema word refers to the spoken word, or more specifically for us, a word that comes alive and becomes subjectively real to you and I as we read it, is a promise or a passage that God quickens to us and that we know without doubt that God has spoken. It is as if God is speaking to you directly from the pages of the Bible, the Rhema, the promise of God. And give you an example for my life, really. I was facing a particular situation last year where it was causing me some anxiety and fear, I have to confess. And I've read a few books on mental health and self-help, and they're helpful and instructive. But as I was reading in my daily devotion, the Holy Spirit brought a passage to life as I was reading it. And it's like God is speaking just directly into your situation. And it's beyond doubt. You do not doubt it when God speaks, because it comes that much alive. And it brings help, as you know, brothers and sisters, like nothing else. It's the fact that God cares, God knows, and God will bring you through. That He's aware and He's in the situation that you may be facing. I'm not saying there's always instant release. Sometimes there is. Sometimes you're released when a word of God comes. But mostly, you need to stand upon it. And there is a gradual victory as you war and stand upon the promise, the promises that God has quickened to you for your life. I give you a verse, and obviously this was specific to me. And I was reading one morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, dark and miserable, waiting to go to work. And the verse was in Deuteronomy 1:29. And it was like the Lord just spoke into my life. He said, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as He did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached that place." But that was a promise for me at that time. But it was a real blessing, and I still stand upon it to this day. You see, the Bible is not just information. It's not just history and narrative and poetry and wisdom. But it's living food to our spirits. It's important to us, isn't it? Spiritually, as food is to us physically. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." Again, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then Joshua 1:8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful and to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And we neglect the study and the daily reading of the Bible at our peril. If we do, then we starve. We become weak, we become easy prey for the enemy. Our daily devotion, whenever you may have it, morning or evening or lunchtime, is vitally important to our Christian life. And our devotion, our time with the Lord, it's not just reading a page of some daily devotional, is it? But it's reading and it's digging into the Bible for ourselves. It's praying. It's reading spiritual books. It's listening to podcasts. It's fellowship on a deep level. It's constantly being attuned to what God is saying, whatever life that you might lead. Whatever time you have, rather. God knows if we're short for time. God will meet us. But it's just being attuned to what God is saying. and spending that time with him. And we neglect it at our peril. And we realise, actually, that we cannot do without it. We cannot do without it. We must prioritise time with God into our daily lives. So we stand on the rhema promises of God with confidence as we face this new year, brothers and sisters. And if you say, well, I haven't got any promises, the Bible's pretty clear on it in James, then ask. Ask. It's really that simple. The victories that we seek this coming year, that we have promises for in our individual situations, have actually already been given to us. They are already yes and amen. So be it. If you go back to the passage in Joshua 6:2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have, not I will, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. Up to that point, they hadn't actually gone into the battle, had they? God had already assured Joshua of victory. And God has already gone ahead of us and assured the victories that we need in this coming year. We do not need to be fearful and afraid of what lies ahead of us this year, brothers and sisters. The sad fact is we will be, because we're human, and because we fail, and because we get anxious, and because we allow things to affect us. But we do not need to be. And we must keep reminding ourselves of the promises of God to us. Continually bringing them before him, day and night. Knowing that he will bring us through to the victory, because the victory is already assured. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And in Ephesians 6:13, again, Judy, I think we sang part of this. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, we stand our ground because we already have the victory. We stand in what we've been given. We possess what we already have. The victory is already assured. But of course, there is a proviso. We always need to be aligned, don't we, to the will of God. It was no use Israel attacking another city of their choice. It would have been of no good skirting around Jericho to take on another force, perhaps. Jericho was God's plan. Jericho was God's victory. And we need to be and flow in the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. We need to walk closely, hearing and knowing God's leading in our lives if we want to walk in the victory and the fruitfulness that we long for. And that is why our daily devotion and our time with the Lord is so important, because that is where we get the battle plan, if you like. For example, I could say, this year, I'm going to believe for a different, a better paid job. Now, I can believe for it and I can claim it. I could even get one. Well, possibly through self-effort. But if it's not in the will and the purposes of God, then it's going to end in tears, isn't it? And it's going to be detrimental to my walk with him. We need to believe for the word that God has given us and for our lives, and not for what we want. For example, the word of promise might be this year to you that God has promised you strength and grace to sustain you in a difficult circumstance rather than to remove it altogether. It might be it's a year to leave something behind and rekindle something in God. I don't know. Can also add, Jericho was God's plan for Israel. But that is all the revelation they had up to that point. God led them step by step. And he does the same for us. I don't know about you, but I love a plan. I often say to Julie in the morning, what was the plan for today? And it drives her up the wall because she's not quite the same as me. We would like a full detailed plan of the year from the Lord. That would be pretty handy for me. Actually, I'd like one for the rest of my life. That would be really, as long as I didn't, the death wasn't too premature. But it doesn't generally happen that way, does it? We walk in trust, and we walk in a daily seeking of his purposes and his will for our lives. And sometimes we get a little bit more revelation. Sometimes it's just really what's in front of us, isn't it? I think Richard said to me once a few years ago, so I do listen to you sometimes, Rich. And he said to me, just do what's in front of you. Just do what's in front of you. And that's all you can do, isn't it? If that's the light, if that's the revelation you have, then that's what you do to the best of your ability. Jericho stood in front of Israel at this time, and this is God's promised victory for them. Let's go back to Joshua 6 and just read the account quickly. Remember, Joshua and the Israelites marched on this impregnable city based on the promise and the word of God, not because they fancied a battle against the toughest city in the land of Canaan. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpet. Notice the ark was carried representing the presence of God. God was with them. When you hear them sound a long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout and the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry it in front of you. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. At this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. They had a very specific plan from God. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. I mean, I wonder what they were thinking, actually, in Jericho. They must have thought they were losing their marbles, especially after the third or fourth day, thinking, well, we're going to be okay here. Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. Then the 7th time, when the priest shouted the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. or the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city fell. All based upon the promises of God. God did everything, didn't he, in this particular cause. They needed to be obedient, they needed to step out, they needed to believe, they needed to trust, they needed to lean into the promises of God. They needed to believe God, they needed to be obedient, but God brought about the victory because they could not do it. And brothers and sisters, neither can we. So let's face this new year with a confidence based upon his living Rhema words into our lives, individually and actually as a fellowship. Let's not be afraid and fearful despite what the world might tell us and what our feelings might tell us. And there's an awful lot to bring us down in this world. I've given up watching the news, rightly or wrongly, because it's so negative. If we haven't got a word of promise, let's ask him and let's stand upon it. God has gone before us into this new year, and nothing that you or I face this year will surprise God. Nothing will throw God. He's already gone ahead of us, and he's already behind us, and he already has it. And as we know, he can turn the very worst situations into situations and victories for us. The Rhema, living word of God into our lives. It's so important, isn't it? Can I just add, really coming to a close, that it's so important. I noted again, Rich prayed for someone this morning. It's so important that we move in those giftings of the Holy Spirit as well. I've mentioned that we seek God individually and our devotionals, and that is our chief way, isn't it, of communicating with God. But it's been a blessing to me and to many of you over the years. When someone comes up to you with a word, either from Scripture or that's been quickened to them, or even they might just go and pray for you, and something they say is just an answer that you've been seeking. We need to flow and to move in those gifts, to encourage and to sharpen each other. You know, when we meet together, that's one of the reasons we meet together as a church. I will finish with another promise that God gave me many years ago, which has been my foundation, Rhema word, if you like. I shouldn't be sharing all these with you really, Sly, but it's Joshua again, Joshua 1:7. And it's probably because I'm such a coward that God gave me this one. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. And all the people said, Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you've not just left us, Lord, when you went back up to glory. But you've given us your living word, Lord God. We thank you that we can communicate with you daily through it. We thank you, Lord, that it is food for us. And Lord, I just bless you for your promises for us. Lord, encourage us, encourage your people, Father, as we go into this new year. I know we're a week into it, Lord. We want to believe and trust you for great things, to see victories in the lives of brothers and sisters, victories in our own lives, and to see, Lord, just a harvest of souls for your glory, Lord. In your precious name, Amen.